ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
This is Summer Grandstand on ABC Sport with Quentin Hull. On your radio, ABC Sport Digital, and on the ABC Listen app.
Coming down towards the 700 metres by a length and a half, the Land Legend. Two lengths away, Circle of Fire, Akita Sushi. Zardozi next on the inside, weighted with Fancy Man under pressure. Then came Mostly Cloudy, Manzois. Buckaroo sweeping up around the outside, about six off the lead, followed by Vauban. Land Legend goes to the front with Akita Sushi on the outside. Then Zardozi back behind those Circle of Fire, Fancy Man, and from a long way back, Buckaroo. It's Akita Sushi. Zardozi a length away on the inside, wearing it down. Akita Sushi grabbed by Zardozi. Knight's Choice is coming through at any old price, and Warp Speed as well. Zardozi grabbed by Knight's Choice, and Warp Speed coming at it. Knight's Choice, Warp Speed, they hit the line. It's a photo finish. Knight's Choice, I reckon, won from Warp Speed in a photo. What a magnificent finish to the Cup. Zardozi in a photo for third with Akita Sushi, absurd.
Yeah, it was an outstanding installment of the Melbourne Cup, and what a story. At any odd odds, Knight's Choice for the singing Irish jockey Robbie Dolan and Sheila Laxon, with her amazing strike record in the race, having trained the great Ethereal to victory. She's had two starts for two wins, with training with her husband and partner Tom Simons to win last year's Melbourne Cup. Who will it be in 2025? Claire Lindop, we're just recovering from a great day at Derby Day yesterday. Great to have you on board for our traditional Sunday preview of the race that stops the nation.
Brilliant racing at Derby Day. Great crowd at the races. Mark Zara put on a clinic with his four wins. But Melbourne Cup, this is, you know, if there wasn't Ashes of horse racing, the Melbourne Cup would be it. We've got 11 international horses. We've got some great local form. We've got jockeys riding the race for the first time. We've got Kieran McAvoy trying to make break the record and have four Melbourne Cup wins. So it's just a lot of good stories coming out of it. Obviously, Jamie Mellum riding Half Yours, which is still one of the favourites of the race, won the Caulfield Cup. Going into the Melbourne Cup, if she was to do the double there, that's another record broken.
And sometimes the process of trying to find a winner for the Melbourne Cup becomes a process of elimination. And the first one is, well, can they run 2 miles, the old 3,200 metres in the metric? And we've got another for Tuesday, haven't we? Can they run in the wet? Because the forecast for Melbourne for the next couple of days does not look good.
Well, the Weather Bureau is saying between 20 to 40 mils on the Monday. The track curator, Liam, is one of the best in the business. The track does drain really well. The actual day, Tuesday, has been revised to only 5 mils, so showers for the day. So hopefully it doesn't spoil the party for everybody getting out there. But look, there's plenty of great places to watch the races and enjoy it. But if it rains on the day and the track opens up, there's 170 horses racing on Melbourne Cup Day. That's when you will get the heavy track if it rains during the day. But if it doesn't rain so much in the 12 hours before the first race on the Tuesday, it might be the sort of a soft 7 track, but won't be quite the Vanderhum era, I don't think.
Yeah, who famously went through the slop, 30, 40 years ago now. Look, I think we need to start with our chat late yesterday. So as we were leaving the course, we got outside the jockey's room because you very kindly had a chat to Jamie Mellum and said, look, can we have a chat before we get to Cup Day? Because I would suggest, definitely in Melbourne, if not other publications around the country, she is going to be on the front page of most newspapers tomorrow, if not Tuesday, because
it's a great story.
Yeah, she's aboard the Melbourne Cup favourite.
Tony Calvin McAvoy, local trainers. They have a home base now out of Flemington, as well as being based from South Australia. Tony was recently inducted to the South Australian Racing Hall of Fame. Great family dynasty.
Well, let's take you to just near the scales outside the jockey's room yesterday when Claire and I spoke to the woman who's riding the Melbourne Cup favourite. Jamie, Derby Day is done, and now we look forward to Tuesday, and you're a Caulfield Cup winning jockey on the Caulfield Cup winner who's headed to Flemington on the first Tuesday with a lot of people expecting a strong performance. How are you feeling about being on the Melbourne Cup favourite?
Yeah, I'm excited. Look, I'm glad we got the job done with the Caulfield Cup because I was very nervous. I'm not one that normally lets it get to me, and I was cooked. So I'm glad that was over and done with, and it's given me a bit of confidence. And look, I'm still feeling a bit sick about the Melbourne Cup, but it's sort of like, you know, we got the major out of the way. I want to get another one, but at least that one's over and done with, if that makes sense.
Nerves. Can you tell us a little bit about this? I mean, you're such an accomplished performer now, but is this always going to be a part of just what makes up you as a sports person?
Yeah, like I've always been very good at putting it behind me once I get on the horse, but I don't know, it's been having a favourite in a major race is something I've never experienced before. And yeah, ask my husband, I was an absolute bitch to him that whole week. Oh, I was very stressed.
The pressure comes with it, and but Jamie, we know what pressure makes. It makes diamonds, and you were definitely our diamond of our sport. So proud of you know what you've achieved, and we always talk about the fact that women and men compete equally in this sport, but to ride in the Melbourne Cup, there's been quite a few females now who ride the Melbourne Cup every year. Really excited for your chances here. It will be history if you do the Caulfield Cup, Melbourne Cup double. But probably the big question that we're going through our form, looking at the field, is stepping up to the 1300 metres. How do you feel about half yours going to that 1300 metres? Do you think we're on the trip?
Yeah, everyone's questioning that. I think 100%. I think I learned a lot from him in the Caulfield Cup. I had to get going too soon, I think, for the horse. He made a good 500-600 metre run, and when I won on him in the naturalism at Caulfield, I only got out sort of 300 before home, and he was very sharp. I think he'll definitely get the trip if I can just find the rail, put him to sleep, and just let that first wave of horses get past me and just wait for the second crack at it.
The experience of riding in the Melbourne Cup was going to hold you to good stead there with that as a conversation. And what about the soft track that is supposedly coming? But what do you think for the rain coming?
Well, are you any good at the rain dance? I'm going to do the rain dance on Monday. We're apparently getting a hell of a lot of rain, which is going to suit this horse. He loves it. He swims through it. And I think he doesn't need it, but he definitely appreciates it, and a lot of other horses won't like it. So I hope it doesn't rain during the race, because I'm not a fan of getting my hair wet in the rain, but hopefully it's nice and wet underneath.
Jamie Mellum's with us. Have you sat on him since the Caulfield Cup? What kind of work have you done?
Yeah, I did just a lap of Flemington on Tuesday. Not a real solid gallop, but just a nice little lung opener. He's very fit. Even since looking at him after the Caulfield Cup, he's tightened up again. He looks like an absolute athletic, athletic horse. He's not gonna blow a candle out. I was blowing harder than him when I did 2,000 metres on him on Tuesday. I was blowing and he pulled up like it was nothing. So I'm confident in the horse.
And I'm just wondering how confident you are with your form, because we saw you on Derby Day last year win the Derby and join Claire in that elite group. So
you banged your crowbar that one, and I'm happy with that.
It's I'm in great company here, and literally we are right near Claire's photo.
I wasn't on one of Leon's horses in the Derby today, so I couldn't have won it. That's why.
but for you to then go on and it was a bold ride on half yours. You had to time it really to perfection in the Caulfield Cup. How are you feeling confidence-wise with your riding in the big races?
Yeah, well, as Claire would know, when you're on a horse that's push button, it makes our job so much easier. He's a horse that I can push, I can pull on him, he will settle. It's not like I need to get the horse to settle or overthink things out there. He's push button, and that makes our job so much easier when you've got a horse that does whatever you ask. So I'm very confident.
Mm. Looking through the form, Jamie, and Quinton and I, we're doing our form as well. We're trying to throw out our best tips to the general public. Is there one in the race that you're looking at, like, I'd like to follow that one? Or I'm not sure. It's really hard to line up some of these international horses, as we all know. And that's what makes our race so great, right? Like, it still could be anyone's race. But is there one that you're sort of thinking, yeah, that's the one I want to follow, or that's one I think might be hard to beat?
Yeah, well, from last start, the Caulfield Cup, Ballant King's run was absolutely fantastic. I rode him in the Caulfield Cup 2 years ago, and he was a very immature horse coming from overseas, and it looks like he's just taken that year or so just to mature, and I think he's definitely going to be a very strong chance in the race. And look, there's I actually think Celine's in with a very big hope after it was a very nice win in the Geelong Cup. And look, it's the Melbourne Cup, there's so many chances, and in the end it's the horse that stays, the horse that gets the best ride, best run in the race. There's lots of little things that can happen,
and like the wet track.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, rain dance, we're doing the rain dance.
We appreciate your time at a time where you've been so busy. How are you sort of compartmentalising the face that you are for the sport now, let alone the competitor that wants to be in A1 shape at the right time of year?
Yeah, it's this time of year, as you know, Claire, it's very stressful. You're trying to be 100% every single day, and people watching over, you can see your flaws and see when you're not 100%. But I think it's a big... It makes me very confident and more enthusiastic when I've got all these younger people around me saying, I want to be just like you one day. When I grow up, I want to be like you. And that's the biggest compliment I think anyone can give you.
Look, you love the horses first, Jane. That's what I always love about you too. Do you still ride your own off-the-track horse in between time as well for a bit of relaxing?
Yes, much to Ben's disgust. He doesn't know why I would get out of bed on a Sunday and go show jumping, but I'm that crazy horse girl that never grew up.
Jamie, thanks for your time and safe passage on Tuesday first and foremost, and hopefully you get a bit of luck and you get that rain
hopefully
dance going.
I'm talking to you after winning the Melbourne Cup. We can have a chat after that.
Book it in.
Yeah. Strike rate for the McAvoys has been incredible, so you're on a good form roll there.
Speaking to Jamie Mellum after the races yesterday, Quentin Hull and Claire Lind up with you for Summer Grandstand on ABC Sports. So there are two sides to this. It's the classic preparation, a good run in the Turnbull into winning the Caulfield Cup. That's the way to go to the first Tuesday. But it's bigger than that for Jamie and for the sport because of who she is.
Yeah. I love that she brings it back to knowing the horse, talking about the way she rode the horse and the great question from you about the Caulfield Cup, because it was a fast run race. She had to time the run to get there. You know, she really enjoys her horses and, could have had a laugh with her, but she's still got a retired McAvoy horse dollar for dollar in the paddock that she rides every day.
We won't get your final selections just yet, but have you got half yours among your top few?
Absolutely. I'll be cheering for her. But I have actually gone with Valiant King as one of my top non-picks. Obviously, Jamie did mention it. But we are both looking at the Caulfield Cup as a great form line out of that. And when you're sort of thinking about the top three out of the Caulfield Cup, well, I've actually got the top four sort of in my kind of top six as well. So, and Chris Waller's got a big hand in that.
Well, how about we give him a call? Why not? He's got five in the race, Chris Waller, and he's fresh off the back of his rising star winning the Golden Eagle yesterday. Plenty to talk about with the best trainer in the land, and he'll be with us next.
The summer of cricket just got hotter. ABC Cricket Magazine is out now. Full season preview, all the stats, profiles, scorecards and more in your essential season guide. Out now at newsagents and abcmagazines.com.au.
This is Summer Grandstand on ABC Sport with Quentin Hull on your radio, ABC Sport Digital and on the ABC Listen app.
Quentin Hull and Claire Lind up with you for Summer Grandstand on ABC Sport, and our Melbourne Cup preview now turns to the voice with the man who's got the biggest hand in the race, the premier trainer in the country, Chris Waller. And as much as we're speaking about the first Tuesday, Chris, welcome to you. I think we have to do a bit of the morning after the day before. Autumn Glow, wow, you've got a new superstar on your hands. She was magnificent yesterday. Thanks for your time. How are you going?
Pretty good. Yeah, it's a busy time of the year, but it's all so very much worth it when you've got some stars in the stable. And yeah, yesterday was brilliant. Autumn Glow, she's a star and emerging star, and she's starting to get a following. And each time we raise the bar, she delivers. And even yesterday, it might have looked simple, but track was very tricky. And Claire, you could understand. It was hard to make up ground, and we had to sort of ride her out of a comfort zone. And James had to ask her a couple of times in the run. And it's not easy for a horse to do, but she responded really well.
It took a great ride from James out of the gates, actually. He sort of got across a little bit, had to ride a little bit aggressively early, then still managed to get her to settle and had to peel out early. So she did do it quite a little bit tough way. Probably at the 200 metres, I thought she had a match on her hand, but she drew away. Mm. So, yeah, it was really exciting to see her win so dominantly. So, yeah, hopefully she pulls up well. And, it's 8 out of 8. It's exciting time.
Yeah, it's quite remarkable. And you don't see a lot different from her at home. The riders do give us good feedback and say that she feels special, but it's not until that last 100 metres that she starts to separate. And as Darren Flindell said yesterday, she opens her shoulders up and away she goes.
And we know that the day always presents a choice when you've got big hands in both Sydney and Melbourne. We understand why you were in Sydney yesterday, but when do you get down to Melbourne to look at the five that you've got for the first Tuesday?
I'm here now, so I came down last night straight after Randwick, and yeah, it's all fully focused for Tuesday, and one little eye on the weather, but the other eye is certainly firm on the horses. And yeah, we've got a range of horses that they've all got pros and cons, but overall got a really good hand.
Well, let's just start with who's your best mudlark out of Buckaroo, Land Legend, More Felons, River of Stars and Valiant King? They're your five. Have you got one that swims best?
Probably River of Stars. I just had a quick look at her form, and she's raced a lot in France and England, and there's been some soft tracks, and their soft tracks clear a lot heavier than ours, aren't they?
Yeah, I think so. Everyone's talking about Valiant King out of the Caulfield Cup run too, how a little bit checkered path and was getting home super. But I feel like River Stars is just flying under the radar a little bit because raced handy on the speed and was one of the only horses to maintain and keep right there at the finish as well. So it was an excellent run. How do you split those sort of the two lightweights in the race, River Stars and Valiant King? I was sort of looking through. Buckaroo's obviously going to have to carry a little bit of weight compared to some of the lightweights. Does that give you a bit more? Is that something you think about going into the Melbourne Cup over the 2 miles, or you think that the handicap's got it pretty right and they're pretty equally even?
It's obviously a lightweight's a big plus. So Valiant King, he's got some good form on soft tracks as well. He's the only negative with him. He's running the race last year and he was well beaten, but he does seem to have come back so well. And that win at Flemington at the start of the month was excellent. And that Caulfield Cup form, which he and River of Stars has, it shows you that they're in form. They're ready to peak. So I can't honestly split River of Stars and Valiant King. The likes of Buckaroo, he's carrying big weight, 57. And I think with Buckaroo, he's got the speed to beat these horses, but he may not have the stamina. So if they go slow, which is probably unrealistic, but if they do go slow, he'll have the acceleration to sprint past them, despite his weight. So with Buckaroo, we happened to win the race with Very Elegant. He's almost got an identical preparation to what she had going into the race, and Caulfield Cup form is pretty good going to a Melbourne Cup.
You're hearing from Chris Waller with Quentin Hull and Claire Lindop, Summer Grandstand on ABC Sport. Waller with five in the Melbourne Cup on Tuesday. And just around Buckaroo, you mentioned the classic lead-in with the clock's plate beforehand, and boy, he was close. When did you finalise the booking with Craig Williams? Because that news sort of came out during the week, and it's a pretty big headline.
Yeah, there's a lot of moving parts. Obviously, Craig's horse went amiss, and he's not running. So we had another horse, Birdman. We were saying to him, look, this horse is there. If he gets in the field, could you ride him and at what weight? And then it was working out that he wasn't going to get a run. So we thought, well, you might as well ride Buckaroo. Craig's just riding in fantastic form. And riding in a Melbourne Cup's a little unique, and his experience will be second to none.
Yeah, and 2.5 extra kilos compared to last year, where he ran on and was a 3.5 length ninth. So, yeah, you know, sometimes, you know, the old sort of thought of if they've run once and can't win it, well, they couldn't do it at the second time. I think it's changing a little bit, is it, Chris?
I do. And if you go and watch his race from last year, he didn't get a chance at all. He drew wide, he got back, he was wide the whole way and came wider from the half mile. So, yeah, his run peaked, and I think had he had a better draw and better circumstances, he would have run top three.
Looking at the field, where are your challenges coming from, domestically or the internationals? Because we don't know too much about those 11 visitors, but we know that you've got the keenest eye in the game. What can you help us out with there?
Oh, the keenest eye in the game is looking at his own horses. Concentrating on my five. I've got very little knowledge on any of the others. Obviously, Half Yours, who won the Caulfield Cup, that's who I'd say is the hardest to beat from an Australian perspective. But the overseas horses, that's not my department, but let's hope Australia wins.
That's a great answer.
We're all trying to decipher the form in what is the hardest race to try and sort out each year. We really appreciate your time on the eve of the race that stops the nation, Chris. Good luck with your handful on Tuesday.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, good on you, Chris. Always nice to hear from Chris Waller, a very busy man. Quentin Hull and Claire Lindop with you. He hasn't helped us Claire, so now it's your job to do.
Well, it's an interesting comment
internationals.
About if it was a slowly run race, Baccarat might be a sprint past some of these other ones. But it's looking through, that's the challenge, because some of these lead up races, some of our local horses have been racing against each other, some good fine form lines. Even Torrezano, who won the Geelong Cup, ran second to Valiant King. So if you've got Valiant King, and then you probably need to throw Torrezano in. So you're kind of looking at all these form lines and how they line up. But the pace of the races have been run well. And for some reason, the 2 miles of Melbourne Cup, everyone thinks, let's go a little bit steadier, let's have our horse together. And some of the horses can get fired up in front of the crowd as you race down in front of that grandstand the first time, and the roar of the crowd can affect your horses a little bit. So looking through, you're looking for horses that go forward, and that's probably why maybe River Stars needs to go into the mix. She's a mare that run forward in the pace. Horses out wide like Maydown, Al Riffa, they might actually be getting back from the barrier draw now.
Well, as far as the internationals are concerned, generally we like to have a look at them. And we did get a look at Presage Nocturne with a very good run.
Fourth in the Caulfield Cup.
Yet all the talks about Al Riffa, where Mark Zara is going to ride for Joseph O'Brien. Joseph O'Brien's got two. So without going through the blow by blow, what's the overriding message that you've got to those trying to tip a winner about those internationals and the form that we don't get to see?
Look, going through them, looking at maybe Absurd, which is number 9, William Mullins, Kieran McAvoy rides. He's ridden it before in the race. It's coming for, again, he's run well in the race before, but now he knows how to run into the race. His prep's probably been a little bit better, again, out of the Caulfield Cup, which is the first time he's run a Caulfield Cup prior to the Melbourne Cup. So some of the, you know, William Mullins is just fresh off winning the Breeders' Cup. So, you know, he's one of the best trainers in the world. So I think he's now learnt from coming to the Melbourne Cup, and maybe this is the right formula.
Kieran McAvoy rides as well, who's already won 3 cups.
Exactly. The American horse, Patch and Punny, a little bit of a span on the works, had a golden ticket for winning the Melbourne Cup. Belmont Cup, beg your pardon. It does like the wet track, but it's never actually won on turf, so that's going to throw a little spanner into works. Goody Two Shoes, I've heard, obviously, because she's down the lightweights as well, and the second in Joseph O'Brien horse trained in the race. Look, she's again that lightweight chance, but some of them don't quite have the class of the other horses as well. So that's kind of when you're trying to weigh it up with those other internationals. Japan have a horse, Chevalier Rose. They haven't had many horses come to the Melbourne Cup, and you always have to respect them. They seem to always come, you know, throw one up when they do come. They have obviously won the race in the past, but it's first up, so it's hard to know how it's going to perform here.
I think you've done a good job to try and give us a brief look at there. We've only got a couple of minutes before the news, and everyone wants Derby winning jockey Claire Lindop's top 3 for the Melbourne Cup for 2025.
Look, I've landed on number 24, Valiant King, Waller, and Jai McNeil, who's won the race before. Number 6, Prestige Nocturne, which is the other international I once wanted to mention. It's a French horse trained, ran a beautiful race 4th in the Caulfield Cup. Number 14, Half Yours, Tony McAvoy, Jamie Mellon for 3rd. And I've thrown in for my top 6, number 9, Absurd, William Mullins, Cameron McAvoy. Number 21, River of Stars, Waller and Mertens. And number 23, Torrezano for Paul Priska and Celine Gaudry. For a real outsider, I will throw in the German horse with the best jockey's name I reckon in the world, Thor Hammer Hansen. That's number 10, Flatten the Curve.
Thor Hammer Hansen, barrier 17 for Flatten the Curve. Yeah, it is a great name. So Claire's numbers for the 2025 Melbourne Cup. She's going with Chris Waller to win a second cup. He's won one with Very Elegant, and Jai McNeil, who won a cup with Twilight Payment. So number 24 off a good finishing 3rd in the Caulfield Cup to beat number 6, who was just behind in the Caulfield Cup, Presage Nocturne, and then Half Yours, the winner of the. So you've gone the classic lead up, Claire, for that.
I think really thinking without. I just want to throw in Paul Priscus as well from the Geelong Cup, but once with Offerable won through the Moonee Valley Cup, but I just feel like the Geelong Cup this year has really actually probably shown a class race. It was sort of under the radar, the Caulfield Cup, but I feel like there's class horses in it, and we'll see that. Looking through it.
And hopefully you've got your wet weather gear when we catch up on Tuesday. Enjoy a day in Melbourne before I see you at headquarters on Tuesday.
Thank you, and good luck to everyone.